Today is the 3rd of October 2015. Join us for the evening service of the Weatherby House Church. And if you hear some background like country and western music coming through on this broadcast, it's only because the little town of Weatherby are a bunch of rednecks that go up on the square, put speakers up there, and have these country and western singers come over there and blurt out their country and western music, regardless of what any of the other townsfolk people in Weatherby want. They do it. They don't care about any of the other citizenry of the city. So you'll know that if you hear a little Merle Haggard sound or something like that coming over Sermon Audio, that's what it's all about. We live in a town of rednecks, you know, rebellion, you know. It's not, you know, sin is sin, whether it's Sodom and Gomorrah or whatever. The first song we're going to sing is page 26 in the Psalter, Psalm 20b, 26. Mark, do you want to start that?
The Lord in your distress attend, let Jacob's God exalt you still. Help from the holy temple sent, and strengthen you from Zion's hill. May he your sacrifice regard, and all your offerings in mind. May he your heart's desire reward, fulfilling all you have designed. In your salvation will rejoice, in God's name our banners raise. Oh, may Jehovah hear your voice, grant all you ask through all your days. I know now that the Lord defends and saves his own anointed king. From holy heaven his answer sends, his right and saving power will bring. Shared some of confidence, and on their horses some rely. But we boast only one defense, the name of God, the Lord Most High. For we are raised in upright stand, our foes are made to bow and fall. Oh, save the King, Lord, by your head, and answer us the day we call.
Now, I'm going to have to ask you to slow it down just a little bit, okay? If you wouldn't mind. This old man's having a hard time keeping up with, you know, you young guys, you know, you're 39, I'm 61. So, anyway. Okay, the next one that has been selected is page 400 in the old school hymnal. Shall we gather at the river? I'm ready. I'm ready to gather at the river. And it's not going to be an earthly kingdom here on this earth. It's going to be a heavenly kingdom wherein dwells righteousness.
Shall we gather at the river where bright angels' feet have trod, with its crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God? Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. On the margin of the river, washing up its silver spray, We will walk and worship ever all the happy golden day. Ere we reach the shining river, lay we every burden down. Grace our spirits will deliver and provide a robe and crown. Soon we'll reach the shining river. Soon our pilgrimage will cease. Soon our happy hearts will quiver with the melody of peace. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God.
Okay, the last one before we go over to the other part of our service is page 35 in the Psalter, in Psalm 30a.
O Lord, I will exalt you, for you have lifted me. My foes you have allowed not to glory over me. O Lord, my God, I pleaded that you might heal and save. Lord, you from death have ransomed and kept me from the grave. His saints have praised Jehovah and thank his holy name. His anger lasts a moment, his grace a whole lifetime. For sorrow like a pilgrim may tarry all the night, but then a shout of joy comes when dawns the morning light. In prosperous days I boasted, unmoved I shall remain. O Lord, you by your favor my mountain strength maintain. For when your face was hid, I soon was troubled sore. I'll cry to you, Jehovah, the Lord I will implore. Is there in thy blood prophet, when in the grave I dwell? Will dust proclaim your praises, your truth in glory tell? Oh, hear me now, Jehovah, be gracious unto me. To you I cry, Jehovah, oh, now my helper be. You now have turned my sorrow to dancing full of joy. You loosen all my sackcloth and girded me with joy. To you sing songs my glory and never silent be. O Lord, my God, I'll thank you through all eternity.
Dear Lord, we pray that you would be with us in this service tonight. And we pray that whatever is said would glorify you and honor your name and exalt you, we pray. We ask this in Christ's name for your glory. Amen. You know, there's so many things I could talk about tonight. There's so much going on in the not only the United States but throughout the whole world. And I was talking recently to another brother in Christ, and he made the statement to me that this Pope's visit has authenticated the reality of who the Pope is and who he is representing. And I could not be more in agreement with him. And sometimes we have to almost, it's hard for us to believe that we're actually living in a time when we see the very presence of Antichrist as described in the Word of God here addressing the Congress of our United States. And there's a scripture that comes to my mind that I've used often lately, and I'm not quoting it verbatim, but there will come a time when they will call evil good and good evil. That is the Hegelian dialectic. In other words, they'll talk out of both sides of their mouth. They'll be duplicitous. You know, scripture also tells us that you can't serve two masters. You're going to either serve the one and hate the other, or hate the one and serve the other. And, you know, we could say one thing, that the focus and the goals of Ignatius Loyola was one single purpose, and that was to bring about the demise of the Protestant Reformation. That was a direct attack upon justification by faith. It was a direct attack upon God's sovereign grace. It was a direct attack on those who strongly held to the scriptures that say the just shall live by faith. It was a direct attack on those who said by faith alone, in Christ alone, through Scripture alone. And if you look at every one of those tenets of the Christian faith, by faith alone, the Roman Catholic Church and the Arminians both deny that. The Arminians say, by free will and faith alone. The Roman Catholic Church says, by faith alone in the sacraments. Really? Sacramentalism. In fact, while Pope Francis was here in the United States, he made the statement that baptism saves us. Trusting in their baptism to save them. Trusting in the transubstantiation. Do you know how many people died in the Great Reformation because of five words? What were the five words? Do this in remembrance of me. I guess six words. Do this in remembrance of me. Roman Catholic Church denied that they were doing this in remembrance of what Christ had already done on the cross. Christ had completed the work on the cross. In Hebrews it says that he entered once into the holy place, make sacrifice for sins. So, also the Arminians are not trusting in Christ alone. They're trusting in something in and of themselves. People have forgotten the Romans 5 teachings of Paul on the doctrines of original sin. That we were born and conceived in sin, and they're still trying to say that all men are created in the image of God. You know, God is not a fallen creature. God didn't know. God is none, is without sin. The Bible tells us all men are born and conceived in sin. Jesus wasn't born and conceived in sin. So how is that an image of God, I ask? You know, if all men that are born and conceived in sin, that includes Mary, and the Roman Catholic Church want to pray to this false Mary and say that she was immaculately conceived. So they're not trusting in Christ alone, the Arminians or the Roman Catholics. In the Bible alone. Well, the Arminians don't believe the Bible. They leave out major portions of the Bible. You know, they don't like Isaiah 42, 43, 44, and 45. You know, they don't like Malachi. They don't like John 6. They don't like John 10. They don't like John 17. They certainly don't like the portion in Acts where it says, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. They certainly don't like the 8th chapter of Romans. They don't like the 9th chapter of Romans. They don't like the 1st chapter of Ephesians. They don't like the 1st and 2nd Peter, because Peter is so strong on election. They don't like portions of Jude. They don't like portions of Revelation, especially where it says that whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. What are we talking about? We're talking about the fact that all roads lead to Rome, including Arminianism. Why do you think so many Arminians now are joining the ranks of ecumenicalism? It was the Arminians who through their instigation and proclamations came up with this evangelicals and Catholics together. And of course we know that Colson and J.I. Packer said he was an Arminian, but he ended up being Roman Catholic, which is even worse. You know, John Stott said he wasn't Arminian, but he ended up being Roman Catholic instead. You know, Colson's wife was Roman Catholic. Pat Robertson says he's, you know, not Roman Catholic, but he ended up joining the ranks of Roman Catholics when he put his approval on it, evangelicals and Catholics together. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the denial of the tenets of the doctrine of faith, which says, by faith alone, in Christ alone, through His Word alone. That's the tenets that the Roman Catholics and Arminians have rejected. And now, we see the Arminians going into all kind of works doctrines, like, for an example, Labyrinth, and little meditatory gardens. And I was talking to a fellow the other day who lives on an island, and he said they have large labyrinth prayer gardens. These New Agers are thicker than you can't believe in these areas. By faith alone, in Christ alone. I was telling him, you know, I remember in the Old Testament where it say one chapter he did what was right in the sight of God, and the next chapter he did what was evil in the sight of God. But so many of them, even those that said that he did what was right in the sight of God, it says that they did not tear down the groves. The groves were remained. In other words, idolatry. In Christ alone, Fatima, in Christ alone, worshiping patron saints, in Christ alone, Rick Warren joining with the Roman Catholic pontiff in ecumenicalism, in Christ alone, have such a, now I saw the other day that John Hagee has invited Joe Osteen to come and preach at his church. In Christ alone, when you get up in front of people and say that Jesus Christ did not come for the Jews as their Messiah, because they are God's chosen people, they don't need a Messiah. It's an attack on the atonement in Christ alone, by faith alone. You know, the Arminian Church is no longer upholding the doctrine of justification by faith alone. They're trusting in a lot of other things. They're trusting in the merits of their own works. You know, I can give you some examples. You know, Bill Bright, before he died, got the Templeton Award for $1 million. For what? For joining in with Roman Catholicism, because the latter part of his life, he said that there was no more need to evangelize Roman Catholics because they were Christian. By faith alone? Trusting in a vicar of Christ to offer up the Mass and to say that you're saved by your baptism, by Christ alone and by through faith alone? Well, I don't think so. In the Bible alone, you know, many today have so denied the Bible. You know, of course, the Catholic Church in their own doctrinal statements say that they, the Pope is infallible. And that his word supersedes the Bible. If he says something that is not in alignment with the Bible, you have to go with the Pope over the Bible. You might say, well, how do the Arminians reject the Bible? And we say, you know, by faith alone in Christ alone, sola scriptura, meaning sola scripture. Well, many of the Arminians are into special revelations, special dreams, speaking in tongues, you know, prophecies and all of this that go against the Bible, that go against the Word of God. You know, there's nothing in Scripture that validates Holy Ghost laughter. There's nothing in Scripture that validates throwing people across the stages and throwing people down on the floor. That's not God's anointing, that's Satan's anointing. Through the Scripture alone, one of the principal areas where the Arminians have denied through Scripture alone is, as they, like I said earlier, they denied so much of Scripture. It's not what they affirm, it's what they deny in Scripture. The alteration of Scripture and the newfangled translations and versions of the Bible. You know, I had someone tell me the other day, well, you know, I don't, here a while back, it's been a while, but I don't like the King James Version of the Bible, or, you know, as well as other modern versions. What's he saying? He's denying God's power to preserve the Word of God for 400 years. And that man can make it better than God, preserving his own word. You know, and that's why the Roman Catholics for years did not want to have the common man to have the Bible available to them. That's why they kept it from them. That's why they would get up and speak in Latin and other languages so that the common man could not understand. And that's why they put Tyndale to death, because he translated the Bible into English so people could understand the Bible. And they put him to death over it. And of course, we see that I'm just going to look at a passage of Scripture now. I want to go back to the book of Hebrews, because again, I don't think we can really spend too much time in Hebrews because of the fact that it totally annihilates what we've been talking about. It should bring the Arminians and the Roman Catholic people who are truly seeking for the truth. It should bring them into the reality that God is the one who we should put all of our faith and trust in, and we know that that faith and trust comes only from God. It doesn't come from ourselves. In fact, you know, we're told in Hebrews that He is the author and the finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12. So many believe that they have a spark of good enough. They have enough spark of good in them to you know, have faith. The problem is, it's a denial that they're dead in their trespasses and sin, isn't it? Isn't that what it's a denial of? I think so. You know. And now in the first chapter of Hebrews, verse, it says that God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, but hath in the last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. You know. And so we see in that those two verses that Jesus Christ has been appointed heir of all things. Heir of all things. And in the eighth verse it says, but the Son, He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of Thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. You know, a lot of people want to deny today that God abhors certain kinds of sins. And here it says that He hates iniquity. And so, now if we go over to I want to go over to the sixth chapter of Hebrews real quick and get over there. In the 17th verse of the 6th chapter of Hebrews, it says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel. Do you realize that if we are heirs, we are heirs. That means if we have received an inheritance, undefiled, reserved in heaven for us, that's what Peter says. If we are heirs of the promise that God has willingly showed us the immutability of His counsel. What does that mean, immutability? It means that His decrees are unchangeable. And it also says in that 17th verse that He is going to not only show us the immutability of His counsel, but He's going to confirm it by an oath. And it says that that by two immutable things of which it was impossible, one, for God to lie. It's impossible for God to lie. That we might have a strong conclusion, we have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters into that within the veil, Well, the forerunner is for entered in, even Jesus made a high priest for after the order of Melchizedek. Do you remember what happened? Why does he mention the veil there and entering in that within the veil? Well, the veil was rent from the top to the bottom, and what did he enter into? He entered into the holiest of holies, into the temple. And why did he do it? To make intercession for us. And we no longer are trusting in the blood of bulls and goats, for they could never take away sin. You know, it was just a shadow of things to come. And so, you know, now we've got a whole dispensational melee of people saying that they're going to reinstitute animal sacrifices and build a temple again for the, so that the Jews can receive salvation. You know, that is an attack on God's atonement, on Christ's atonement. It's an attack on Christ's atonement. Because he's already entered into the Holy of Holies. He's already rent the temple in twain, the veil of the temple in twain, from the top to the bottom, you know. And so these people that want to promote dispensationalism, what they need to realize is that they are not only giving a false message to a lot of people, even in the supposed evangelical churches now, that have listened to these false prophets like Darby and Schofield and Ibarra, this Jesuit priest who started all of this mess. And but you know, as it went from Ibarra to you know, some of the earlier people that even started before then, and then it went down to Darby and the Plymouth Brethren, and then it came on down to Schofield, and then it just went, it just, you know, the Jesuits were having a heyday with this doctrine. I mean, then it got involved in, you know, on the one side you had John Wesley, who was reading the mystics and Roman Catholic writers, and was promoting a doctrine of Arminianism and denying all of those tenets we just talked about. He denied the doctrine of election. He denied original sin. He denied unconditional election. He denied irresistible grace. He was a universalist. And so then we see, you know, coming on the scene, Charles Finney and his denying the substitutionary atonement of Christ. Why do you think that the Hebrew writer spends so much time about drawing a clear distinction between animal sacrifices and the atonement? Let's just look for a minute in the 9th chapter of Hebrews. And if you go down in the 9th chapter of Hebrews, it says, beginning with verse 7, unto the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Realize the high priest went into the temple, and he went alone every year, you know, and he didn't go in there without blood, you know. And it says in the 9th verse, why did he do this? It says, this was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertained to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. We need another reformation today, don't we? But in the 11th verse it says, Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. And here they're talking about building another temple and doing this all over again. He says that neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. You know, that needs to be read 25 times to these dispensationalists. Why don't you ever get out your Bible and read it? Okay, why don't you ever get out your Bible and read it? Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. It wasn't any requirement after that time that priests would go in once a year and offer and take blood into the temple and offer for the sins of the people again, because Christ already did it. It says, by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Do you realize that that scripture is an absolute clear revelation that the mass of the Roman Catholic Church is satanic? It's satanic. It's an attack upon Christ's redemption on the cross. Verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal redemption. Notice that if you don't have the call, you're not going to receive the promise of eternal redemption. There is an effectual calling associated with this work of an atonement. Well, he says in the 24th verse, for Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are figures of the truth, but unto heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. We don't need Pope Francis does not have an audience with God. Pope Francis has an audience with Satan every time he does the Mass. The only one that has an audience with God for us is who? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our high priest, not Pope Francis. And it says that then must he have often have suffered. It says, since he's entered into the holy place made with hands, once, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered. It says he's not doing that. He's not offering himself often anymore. In fact, in verse 26 it says, so then he must have often suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once, in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Jesus Christ sacrificed himself. No one else can sacrifice Jesus Christ. And so he says in the 28th verse, Christ was offered to bear the sins of many. Notice here it doesn't say Christ was offered to bear the sins of all. So that's really what I had in my mind today, that we have to realize, and we've done messages on this before, but you know, the Arminians, the Catholics, the Jesuits, the Judaism, Confucianism, Buddhism, Hinduism, the Baha'i faith, agnostics, atheists, you know, the Muslim faith, they're all in the same camp. They're all trying to do something to justify themselves. And God is the only one that can bring about justification through the perfect sacrifice of His Son. Do we have a final selection?
Page 58, Psalm 119p, and page 166, A Mighty Fortress.
Okay. Okay, the first one is what now? Page 58?
Yeah.
And what psalm is it?
Psalm 119 feet.
Okay. You want to start that for us?
Okay. The Lord almighty, I hate thy law, my love has stirred. Thou art my shield and hiding place. My hope is in thy word. Depart, ill doers, that I may by God's commandments heed. Sustain as thou hast promised me, that I may live in thee. Quench not my hope, but hold me safe. Thy statutes I'll respect. All those who from thy statutes err, in scorn thou dost reject. How useless their deceitfulness, in falsehood is no gain. Thou dost to wicked purge from earth, like dross that none remains. So I lay testimonies low, my flesh is weary, for fear of thee and deepest thought, thy judgment surely bring.
Okay, now what's the other one, Mark?
Page 116. No, page 166, the mighty fortress.
Okay. 166. Martin Luther wrote this song. He posted his 95 theses on the door of Wittenberg and against the indulgences that the Roman Catholic Church was selling to grant people actually to purchase something to do away with their sin.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Just as to that may be, Christ Jesus it is he, Lord Sabaoth his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. one little word shall fail him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours, through him we with asideth. But goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still, his kingdom is forever.
Dear God, we know that you're sovereign, you alone, Jesus Christ in heaven, Jesus, amen.
Father, we're thankful to know that you have placed all things under your feet, and that Christ has completed all the work for all of his people, and that it is effectual. And we are thankful that we can trust in you by faith alone, in Christ alone, through the Bible alone. Help us to always remember this, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.